This week's Parsha is Parsha's Nasoi, and the beginning of Parsha's Nasoi gives a continuation of the counting of the Levites. It counts the Bnei Gershon and the Bnei Merari, but the main topics of Parsha's Nasoi are in chapter 5, 6, and 7, which they are as following. In beginning of chapter 5, Pasuk number 1, there we have the commandment that we have to send out from the encampment anybody who is a metzora, anybody who has tzoras, which is a skin coloration that the Kohen has determined to be impure, anybody who is a zav, in other words, he has the zav emission, which manifests itself by women through the flow of blood and by men through the flow of emissions. And anybody who is contaminated by human corpse, meaning that he touched a deceased body, this person is contaminated, and all these three people are required to leave the encampment. And the Torah tells you that the Jewish people actually did what Hashem told them. The next topic on the Parsha is on Pasuk number 5 till Pasuk number 10, where the Torah discusses somebody who steals and swears falsely, and he wants to repent, then the Torah tells you that he has to confess his sins and he has to give back what he stole plus one-fifth, give the person that he stole from or the kin of the person that he stole from. The Torah continues and says that if the person he stole from doesn't have a kin, doesn't have any relatives, i.e. is a proselyte that has no children, then he halachically has no relatives, then the Torah prescribes that the person who stole should give what he stole plus a fifth to the Kohen. And the Torah continues describing other things that you are supposed to give to the Kohen. On Pasuk number 11 starts the Parsha of Sota. Sota is a woman who is suspected by her husband of committing adultery. He warns her against secluding herself with a certain person, and she disregards his warning, and there is witnesses that she secluded herself with this person. That woman is suspected of committing adultery. The husband is required to take her to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen uncovers her hair, makes her swear that she is pure, and gives her water with a little ink. If she has not committed adultery, she will survive. If she committed adultery, she will die. Next topic is chapter number 6, Pasuk number 1, where it starts about the laws of the Nazir. Nazir is somebody who wants to separate himself for Hashem. He is not allowed to drink any wine. He is not allowed to get in touch with the dead. And he has to let his hair grow for 30 days. After 30 days, he has to shave off all his hair. After that, on chapter 6, Pasuk number 22, we have the priestly blessings, Berchat Kohanim, till the end of the chapter. And then on chapter number 7, till the end of the Parsha, we deal with the inauguration of the temple, where the prince of every tribe brought sacrifices, and the Torah relates which sacrifice they brought and what was done with it. Again, in a quick synopsis, we have the following subjects. First, we have the requirement of sending out of the encampment anybody who is contaminated. There is three categories of contaminations, which is tzarua, metzoire, zav, and somebody who touched a dead body. After that, we have the subject of somebody stealing and wanting to make restitution. After that, we have the topic of Sota. After Sota, we have the topic of Nazir. After Nazir, we have the topic of the priestly blessings, Berchat Kohanim. After that, we finish up with the inauguration of the temple. Our shir today will try to focus on these connections, but before we start focusing on these connections, we have to explain certain things that brought down by other Mefarshim to clarify these connections better. Rashi on the Pasuk, on chapter 5, Pasuk number 2, where it says, Tzavez B'nai Yisrael, command the Jewish people, Veishalchu min ha-machne, and they should send away from the encampment, kol tzarua, every person who has a metzora ailment, v'chol zov, any person who has a zov ailment, v'chol toma l'nefesh, anybody who is contaminated to a body, which means he touched a dead body. Rashi says, when was this commandment given that we are required to send away from the encampment anybody that is contaminated? Parsha zu nemra b'yom shehukam amishkan. This parsha was given in the day where the Mishkan was erected, was put together, that is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as the Pasuk brings down in the end of Parshas Pekudei, chapter 40, Pasuk number 17, Vahi b'chodesh harishon, it was on the first month, b'shono hashenis, of the second year, b'echod l'chodesh, on the first of the month, hukam amishkan, the Mishkan was erected. In other words, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year after the Jewish people left Egypt, that's when the Mishkan was erected. Rashi says that this section that says that we had to send out everybody that was contaminated was also on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Even though chronologically on the book of Bamidbar, it seems to be that it was later, because the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, there it starts on chapter 1, Pasuk number 1, it says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai, in the desert of Sinai, Be'oel Moed, in the tent of meeting, Be'echot, on the first day, Lachoydesh Hasheni, of the second month, Bashono Hashenis, of the second year, Letzeisom Eretz Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people went out of Egypt, meaning that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu on the first of Iyar, a month after the Mishkan was erected, that at that point Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to count the Jewish people and count the Levites, and at that point Hashem gave to them their encampments where everybody should rest. But nonetheless, Rashi says that this is not a continuation of the previous chapter. This chapter here, chapter 5, was given a month earlier, and it was given on the day the Mishkan was erected. Are you going to ask me, where do you see that the Torah will write different sections, different laws in different places? So Rashi says, Ushmoina parshios nemru boy bayoim. There were actually 8 portions written at this time, meaning that there were 8 other sections in the Torah written and given at this time, even though they are written in different places. Rashi is referring to the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Omed Aleph, where the Gemara there quotes Rab Levi, where Rab Levi says 8 parshas was given the day the Mishkan was erected, and the parshas are, number 1, Parshas HaKohanim, which is on Vayikra, chapter 21, where it discusses the holiness of the Kohanim, that they are not allowed to touch a dead body, and they are not allowed to marry certain women. Then we have Parshas Levim, which is on Bamidbar, chapter 8, Pasuk 5 to 26, where it's referring to the procedure to inaugurate the Levim for service in the temple. Then Rab Levi says that Parshas Temeim, the Parsha of contaminated person, we have a disagreement between Rashi and Tosfos, what portion is this portion of the contaminated person? Rashi believes that it is a portion referring to about Pesach Sheni, where people were contaminated, they could not bring the regular Passover, they complained to Moshe, and Moshe gave him the law of Pesach Sheni, which is in Bamidbar, chapter 9, Pasuk 1 to 14. Betoisvah says that it is referring to the laws of impurities, of touching a dead body, touching prohibited animals, that's written on Vayikra, chapter 22. Then we have our parshas, Parshas Shiluach Temeim, that you require to send out those people who are contaminated from the camp, which is the parsha we're talking here. Then we have Parshas Achrei Mois, which deals with the laws of Yom Kippur. According to Rab Levi, this was also given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because it's directly associated to the death of the children of Aharon, which happened on Parsha Shmini, which happened on the day the Mishkan was inaugurated. The other Parsha, according to Rabbi Levi, that was given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Parsha Shesuya Yain, the Parsha where prohibits the Kohanim to enter drunk in the Mishkan, which is on Vayikra, chapter 10, Pasuk 8 to Pasuk 11. And then we also have Parshas Neirois, the Parsha that deals with the Menorah, which is the beginning of Parshas Baloischa, Bamidbar, chapter 8, Pasuk 1 to Pasuk 4. And the last one is Parsha Parah Aduma, the passage about the red heifer, the red cow, which is Parshas Chukas, which is in Bamidbar, chapter 19. All these eight parshas were given Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There is a serious question if this Rashi. True that there is customary for the Torah to write things out of order. But here the Torah tells you that I'm required to send away from the encampment everybody that is contaminated. And we are saying that this was given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Then the question is, how can that be if we only establish the encampments on Rosh Chodesh Iyar? After we counted the Jewish people, there on chapter 2, Pasuk number 2, Hashem commands us to put the encampments where every tribe is going to rest. And here we tell you that you're required to send away from the encampment everybody that is contaminated. How can we send away from the encampment everybody that's contaminated if we haven't established the encampments yet? We haven't established where everybody is going to be. We could answer this with what the Medrash Tanhuma, and it's alluded to Rashi on that pasuk. On Bamidbar chapter 2, pasuk number 2 says, Ish al digloi, every man according to his flag, but oisois, with his sign, leveis avoisam, to the father's house, yachnu bnei Israel, the Jewish people should rest, mneged, at a distance, soviv le oil moed, surrounding the oil moed, meaning that each tribe should have an encampment. Rashi there explains, what does it mean, be'oisois leveis avoisam, the signs of the father's house. So Rashi is alluding to the Medrash Tanhuma. The Medrash Tanhuma brings that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he found out that Hashem wants to put the Jewish people, each one, at a designated site, was upset. And Moshe Rabbeinu complained to Hashem and said that now you are increasing strife amongst the Jewish people, because if I tell Yehuda, for example, to go to the north, he'll tell me that I want to go to the east. If you tell Reuven to go to the south, he's going to tell me I want to go to the west. And like that, each one is going to object, and it will increase strife amongst the tribes. Hashem said to Moshe, don't worry, just look around. You'll see that they already found their own place, that they already going, they're already going to the same place where Yaakov Avinu told them to go. Yaakov Avinu, when he commanded his children to take him up for burial, or he told them which side each one is going to carry his coffin, his bier. Yaakov already had said that Yudah, Yisachar, Zvulun should carry him on the east side. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad should take from the south. Dan, Asher, Naphtali should take from the north. And Binyamin, Ephraim, and Asher should take from the west. Yaakov had said that Yosef should not carry because Yosef is a king, and you require to give a king his proper honor. Levi should not carry because Levi is destined to carry the Aron of Hashem, and the one who is carrying the Aron of the Eternal of Hashem should not carry the Aron of a dead person of Yaakov. Levi and Yosef did not carry Yaakov's coffin, but Yosef's son Ephraim and Manasseh did carry. And Moshe Rabbeinu, after hearing this answer from Hashem, looked around, and he was appeased that he is not going to cause strife amongst the Jewish people by telling them where to encamp. According to this Medrash, Hashem told them that they already know exactly where they are staying. All you're doing is making it a commandment that they are required to stay where they stay. According to this Medrash Tanhuma, they already had a pre-encampment even before it was actually commanded and established formally the encampment. According to this, we could say that this pasuk that says to send away from the encampment means to send away to the pre-encampment they used to have, since they already knew exactly where everybody was. The Torah is telling you that I want you to send away from these places where you are anybody who is contaminated, then this parsha is possible to be given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Klei Yoker brings a Medrash Rabbe on this week's parsha, Parsha Zion, where the Medrash Rabbe says like that, Vayishalchu bin amachna, that you send away from the encampment, Ein Vayishalchu, to send away means Elo Loshen Golois, means that we are going to go into exile. Like it's written in the Pasuk, Yirmiyahu 15, Shlach melponai vayetzu, that send away from my face and they should go. Min amachna, he says, what is the encampment? Zi Eretz Yisrael, this is Eretz Yisrael, Sheshom Hashchina Choyne, that the Shechina of Hashem, the Divine Presence, is there. Kol Tzarua V'chol Zav V'chol Tomal Nefesh, what is alluding to somebody who is a Metzoyre, somebody who is a Zav, and somebody who is Tome for a soul? It's alluding to Shem Yavru Yisrael Al Sholosh Averes Alalu, if the Jewish people are going to transgress the three sins described by Tzaruah, Zov, and Tomal Nefesh, which are Avoides Kechovim, idolatry, Gilu Aroyes, immorality, Shvichas Domim, and murder, is Chayvu Golos, they are required to go to exile. And he explains, Tzaruah is idolatry because the contamination of an idol is the same contamination of a Metzorah, of the person who has this affliction. Zav, since Zav has to do with procreation organs, Zigul Aroyos, this is considered immorality. Tomal Nefesh, somebody who touches a dead body, this is murderers, which murderers cause dead bodies to increase. The Medrash is saying that if you commit these three capital crimes, if you commit idolatry, immorality, or murder, then you will cause the Shechina to leave, and as a consequence, you will end up being exiled from the land. The Klei Yoker asks, why is this allusion specifically here? We know about the three capital crimes. Why did the Torah choose specifically here to tell me about these three crimes? The Klei Yoker explains that the Torah is alluding specifically after Rashi explains that this is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that this is the day where the temple was inaugurated. Now it's a propitious time for you to know that prevent yourself, refrain from doing these three capital crimes, because if you do these three capital crimes, then you'll cause my Shechina to leave. So Hashem is telling you to send away from the encampment these three afflictions. Make sure they have no room within you. If you always make sure that you are pure from these three crimes, then you won't have to worry about my Shechina leaving. And if my Shechina doesn't leave, then you don't have to worry about being exiled. But if you keep these three crimes, then you will cause my Shechina to leave, and consequently, you will be exiled from the land. So specifically, after Rashi told us that this happened Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where Rosh Chodesh Nisan was inauguration of the temple, was the first time when the Shechina came down to be amongst us, Hashem is telling you to make sure that you don't have these three capital crimes. The next parsha is on chapter 5, pasuk number 6. Daber Bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, Ish o Isha, a man or woman, ki yase mikol chatas Adam, they'll do any sins of men, limoil mal b'Hashem, to commit treachery to Hashem, v'oshmo anefesh ahu, that person will be guilty. We mentioned before that this parsha is referring to somebody who swore falsely regarding a loan or regarding some stolen item, and now he wants to repent on his own, and he's coming to see how he could rectify what he did. The Torah prescribes the procedure that he has to confess his sins and return what he stole plus one-fifth. The Torah more explains what is the connection between this parsha to the parsha of sending away people who were contaminated to a body. He explains that before we are dealing with contamination of the goof, somebody who touched a body, now we are dealing with contamination of the soul. That somebody who is guilty, somebody who did treachery towards Hashem, where he caused his soul to be corrupt, to be contaminated, to have tumor, so this person has to follow the procedure of confessing and giving back what he stole, plus a fifth. Like that, his soul is going to be purified. In other words, the Torah Mori says that before we're dealing with physical contamination, and now we're dealing with spiritual contamination, and that's why one is next to the other. There's a question on this pasuk, because this pasuk seemingly is redundant. The pasuk could have just written down, Daber bnei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, ish o isha, a man, a woman, ki yechtu, that they will sin, limoil mal b'Hashem, to commit a treachery to Hashem. Why did the pasuk have to say, in this ambiguous language, ki yasu, they will do, mikol chatois ha'adam, from all sins of men? And also, even if you want to write that way, it should be written Mikol Chatois Adam, from all sins of men. Why does the Torah write with a hey ayadia? And why does the Torah choose the word Adam specifically? The Torah could have used other languages that refers to men, as we see when the Torah uses in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra Adam ki yakriv, a man, when he'll bring a korban. All the Mefarshim jump on it. How come the Torah uses the language Adam? So the question here is, why is it written the word Adam? And even if you want to write the word Adam, why write Ha-Adam, the man? Normally, when there is a Hey, which is Hey Ayedia, which is the known Hey, we try to make something out of it. As the Shlokish Darshans from Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, it's referring to the special sixth day. So what are we going to do here with this special hey? We'll leave this question on the side and we'll try to give other answers. What is the rest of the connection of the Parsha? On Pasuk number 12, there we have the Parsha of Sota. And Rashi asks, what is the connection of giving to the Kohen? In other words, this Parsha that we're just talking now is talking about giving to the Kohen when you cannot find the person you stole from, and he has no relatives, and also the other gifts that you have to give to the Kohen, as Truma and other holy things. What is the connection from that to Sota? Rashi says that if you do not recognize the Kohen to give him these gifts, eventually you are going to have to recognize the Kohen when your wife becomes a suspected adulteress, and you'll come to the Beis HaMikdash to give her to drink the waters, which this procedure could only be done by a Kohen, then automatically you recognize the Kohen. In other words, you didn't want to know the Kohen because you wouldn't give him what really do him, but eventually you're going to have to recognize the Kohen anyways, because your wife is going to become a suspected adulteress, and you'll have to come to the Kohen. There is a lot to explain regarding this, but since this is not the focus of our shir, we'll leave it for next time. After the Parsha of Sota, we have the Parsha of Nazir. Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Sota Daf Beis, says, what is the connection from the Parsha of Sota to the Parsha of Nazir? The Gemara answers, Shekol Roya Sota Bekilkula, that anybody who sees the Sota in her degradation, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayim, should separate himself from wine. Shehu Mevi'i Lidaniyuv, because wine brings you to immorality. Therefore, if you see the Sota being degraded, you're supposed to separate yourself from wine. You're supposed to declare that you want to be a Nazir. Afterwards, we have the Parsha of Berchas Koyhanim. There, Rashi doesn't explain anything about the connection between Nazir and Berchas Koyhanim. But you could kind of say that it refers back to what we had. In other words, we mentioned, if you choose to neglect the Kohen by not giving him his proper gifts, then you're going to have a Sota. And if you have a Sota, then Nazir is connected. But nonetheless, the Kohen should know that even though this person did not give him what is proper do to the Kohen. Nonetheless, the Torah is telling that the Kohen is still required to bless that Israel, even though technically he cheated him by not giving him any money. The connection is really to Sota, that even though this Israel did not give him the gifts and therefore he became a Sota, nonetheless the Kohen should still bless him. And after the Parsha of the Berachas Kohanim, of the priestly blessings, we have the Parsha of the inauguration of the tabernacle, and we could explain, based on Parsha Shmini, chapter 9, Pasuk number 22, where there, right before the Shechina, the Divine Presence, came down during the inauguration of the temple, it says, Vayiso Aharon es yadav el ha'am, Aharon raised his hand on the people, Vayevorchem, and he blessed. So Rashi says, what blessing it was, Bechas Kohanim, Yevorechecho, Yoer, and Yiso, the priestly blessings. And after that, we see that the glory of Hashem came down to the tabernacle, and the fire burned the Mizbeach. So we could say that this is really connected to the inauguration, that the priestly blessings is what caused the Shekhinah to come down to the people. Therefore, right before we mentioned the inaugurations, the sacrifices brought in the inauguration, we write the priestly blessing, so therefore the whole parsha is connected. According to the words of the Baal HaTurim, we could explain all the connections of this parsha in a very beautiful way. The Baal HaTurim, on the first pasuk that we mentioned, chapter 5, pasuk number 2, where it says, Tzavez b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, v'yishalchum min ha'machne, they'll send from the encampment, kol tzerua, v'chol zav, v'chol tomal nefesh, anybody who is a metzora, anybody who has a zav, anybody who is contaminated to a soul. The Baal HaTurim says that we have to send out from this encampment in the same way that Adam, Chava and Nachash were sent out from Gan Eden, that Adam, Chava and the snake were sent out from the Garden of Eden. So too, the Torah is telling you now that you are required to send these three characteristics out of your encampment. And the Baal HaTurim explains the Tzarua is the Nachash, as the Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Metzora base brings down, Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem spoke to the snake, Ato Siparto Loshon Hara, you spoke Loshon Hara, Soivcha Likol Besaras, you are going to get Tzaras, affliction, because it's written, when Hashem cursed the Nachash, Vayomer Hashem Elokim El Nachash, Hashem cursed the Nachash, Ki Asiso Zois, because you did this, Arur Ato Mikola Behema, you are cursed from all the animals. The marriage continued, Bama Araroi, with what did Hashem cursed, Betzoras, with leprosy, Shenemar, because the Pasuk in Vayikra chapter 13 says, Ki Tzoras Mam Erezi, it's a cursed Tzoras, meaning that the Medrash is trying to say that the punishment for somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, who speaks evil reports, is leprosy, and the snake got punished with leprosy. So Hatzarua written is referring to the sin that caused the snake to be Tzarua, to be leopard. And the Baal HaTurim continues and says that V'chol Zof is referring to the sin of Chava, that Chava, after she sinned, she was cursed by Hashem, that she is going to have menstruation flow, that now she is going to have blood coming out of her, and that is Zov. Zov is when blood comes out, not on your regular cycle, that is a Zova, and this is alluding to the sin of Chava, that we should not commit these sins. V'chol tomel nefesh, and everybody who is contaminated by a body, that is referring to the sin of Adam, the sin of Adam Orishan, that he was cursed for eating the forbidden fruit, that he is to become mortal, and only because of the mortality we are forbidden to touch a dead body. It gives contamination, and we are tome if we touch it, and the cause of it was Adam's sin. So we are required to send out of the encampment anybody who has these three sins. And we are going to expand the words of the Baal HaTurim, because the Baal HaTurim always is in shorthand, by explaining the connections like that. The Dazaken in Baal HaTosfos on Parshas Pekuda explains that the Mishkan was a microcosm of the 7 days of creation. In other words, Mishkan was a recreation of the 7 days of creation. And he explains like that. On the first day it's written, Bereshis Bara Elokim, in the beginning Hashem created Es HaShomayim Ve'es HaAretz, heaven and earth. Shomayim, it's also in Baruch Hinafshi, Psalm 104, Pasuk number 2 says, Noite Shomayim Kayeria, Hashem who stretches the heaven like a curtain. And the Mishkan, we know we had the curtains, we had the Yerios Izim, we had the curtains made of wool, and Yerios Tchoshim made of the skin of the Tachash animal. So we had curtains, which is equivalent to the first day. In the second day, we had a separation between the upper waters and the lower waters. The upper waters got closer to Hashem, the lower waters were further from Hashem. And in the Mishkan, we have the paroches, we have the curtain that separates the Holy of Holies to the Holies. So that's equivalent to the second day. On the third day, Hashem said, Yikavu Amayim, let the waters be gathered. And in the Mishkan, we also had the kior, the lever, which gathered the waters for the Kohanim to wash their hand and feet every day. In the fourth day, we had the creation of the luminaries of the sun and the moon to give light into the world. And in the Mishkan, we had the menorah, the candelabra, that gave light into the world. On the fifth day, we had the creation of the birds that have spreading wings. And in the Mishkan, we had the cherubs, which had spreading wings upward to remind us of the birds created on the fifth day. On the sixth day, Hashem created man, and then we had Aharon HaKohen come to serve, which was representative of man. And after all this, it's written, Vayechulu HaShomayim V'Horez, that the world was finished. And after, Vayvorech Elokim Es Yom HaShvi, that Hashem blessed the seventh day. So too here, on chapter 39 of Shemos, Pasuk number 32, it's written, Vateichel Kol Avoidas Mishkan, that all the work of the Mishkan was finished. And afterwards, it's written that Aharon blessed the Jewish people. So we see that the same thing that happened during the 7 days of creation happened in the Mishkan. And as a matter of fact, the Ramban explains also that the Mishkan was a ratification, was a tikkun for the sin of Adam. Meaning that Adam, as soon as he was created, he corrupted his way and he was kicked out from the presence of Hashem. He was kicked out from Gan Eden, and Hashem didn't want to be connected to him. But now that we build the Mishkan, Hashem wants to join us here and he wants to be again amongst us. He wants to bring his Shekhinah to us. We were kicked out from the Shekhinah when we corrupted our ways by the sin of Adam. Now by the Mishkan, Hashem brings his Shekhinah to rest amongst us. With this introduction, we could say, Hashem, when he wants to join us, when he wants to come down to this earth to be amongst us, as Rashi explains that this was the day of the inauguration of the temple, as the Kli Yakor explained that Hashem wants to make sure that we are pure in order to be able to maintain the Shekhinah, that he doesn't want us to be exiled. So Hashem is telling that make sure that the original sins that caused you to be corrupted, that caused you to be kicked out, it is not continued. Therefore, right after the parsha that I tell you to kick out the sins, I'm telling you how to rectify those sins, how you rectified those sins, and that is what is written in the next parsha. The next parsha says, Daber b'nei Israel, tell the Jewish people, Isho Isho, a man or woman, ki yasu, that they will do, mikoil chatois Adam, from any sins of man. And here it's written, Ha Adam, because it's referring to the Adam Orishan, to the famous Adam, Lirbon Bab Hashem, to do a transgression against Hashem, V'oshma nefesh ahi, and that soul feel guilty. So what you should do to rectify? V'izvadu es chatosom, you should confess your sin, not to do like Adam Orishan did, trying to avoid saying nothing happened. V'heishiv es hashomoy beroishoy, and return what he was guilty on his head. In other words, admit what you did. V'chamishiso yosef olov, and a fifth you should add. Sefer Shemen Laroish explains that V'chamishiso doesn't refer to one fifth, refers to the five books of Moses. The Gemara says that if you see the Yetzer Hara attacking you, then you should bring him to the Beis Medrash, increase your Torah learning. So the Torah is telling you here that after you confess your sin and you want to make sure that this, what you did, does not happen anymore, then v'chamishisoy, the five books of Moses, not one-fifth, the five books of Moses, Yosef Olav, you should increase your learning, automatically your Yetzer Hara is going to leave you. That's the way to avoid the Yetzer Hara, to avoid the snake that caused you to sin. The Baal HaTurim explains that then the Torah tells you about the laws of Sota, because Sota was also the sin of Chava. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Mem Vav, Omed Aleph, says that Shebeshah Sheba Nachash Al Chava, that when Nachash had relations with Chava, Ba Zuhama came spiritual impurity into her. Rashi explains that when the snake gave the bad advice for Chava to eat from the fruit, there it says, when Hashem complained to Chava, why did you eat from the fruit? On chapter number 3, pasuk number 13, Vatoymer Oisha, the woman says, Hanochosh hisiani va'oichal. The snake deceived me, va'oichal, and I ate. The fact that she used the language hisiani, so Rashi explains that is from the language of Nisuin. Nisuin means marriage, which means that the snake had relations with me, seduced me, had relations with me, va'oichal, and I ate. So according to this Rashi, the snake actually had relations with Chava. If the snake had relations with Chava, then Chava technically became a Sota, an adulteress. The Baal HaTurim explains that that's why Sota is written right next to the sending away from the encampment these three people, because one of the sins of Chava was that she became an adulteress. Not only that, if you take a look at the procedure of Sota, you could see that really has a lot of connection to Chava. Because one of the things that we do to a Sota, it's written on chapter 5, pasuk number 18. It's written, Ufora es roisho isha, and he should uncover the woman's head. So Rashi says, Soiser es kliyas sara, you remove the braids of her hair, kadei levazoisa, to embarrass her. I want to say something deeper. I want to say that the reason he does that is because on Bereshis chapter 2, pasuk number 22, there it's written, Vaiven Hashem Elohim es atzela, Hashem built the rib. We're talking about the creation of Chava, but the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Aleph Amad Aleph, brings down Dorash Rab Shimon ben Manasya. Rab Shimon ben Manasya explained, "My dichsiv, what is written? Va'even Hashem es atzela, the Hashem built the rib. Melamed, from there you learn shekala hakadosh baruch hu lechava, that Hashem braided the hair of Chava, vehevia leAdam, and brought Chava to Adam in order to beautify." Chava, Hashem braided her hair, Shekem b'krachayam, because in the islands of the sea, Korim lekalisa, you call to braiding, banyasa, building. The word is written, Va'iven Hashem Elohim es atzela, that Hashem built the rib. The Gemara explains, that means he braided. So here, because this Sota acted in a corrupt way, so Hashem is saying, that what I did as a gift to man, to beautify her, that you used to entice adulterer, therefore you have to remove the braids of her hair. You have to uncover and remove Clias, the braiding of her hair. And that's what the Baal HaTurim explains, that in order to remind us of the sins of Chava, and that is one of the characters that have to be removed from the camp, it's written the Parsha Sota next to the Parsha of sending away from the camp. And the Baal HaTurim says that the reason it's written Nazir after Sota is not because there is a direct connection Nazir to Sota, is because Nazir abstains himself from wine, and wine was the fruit that caused Adam to sin, that since we have to take away from the encampment everybody who is Tamal and Nefesh, everybody is contaminated to death. And we mentioned this is referring to the sin of Adam, and Adam's sin was that he drank the wine. Therefore, somebody becomes a Nazir, which he wants to stay away from the sins of Adam. He is required to abstain himself from wine, since the Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem, Ahmed Aleph says that Rav Meir says that grapes was the fruit that Adam ate. The Eitz Hadas, tree of knowledge, according to Rav Meir, was grapes, and they took and squeezed it and drank from the fruit, which means they drank wine. Therefore, a Nazir is required to abstain himself from wine. Also, a Nazir, since he wants to rectify the sin of Adam, is required to abstain himself from touching the dead. He's not allowed to get in touch of the dead person, because death was the punishment on Adam because he ate from the fruit of the tree, which was grapes. And you could actually see that it is an actual proof, because a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine and then go into the Beis HaMikdash, because wine is intoxicating. But nonetheless, a Kohen is allowed to eat grapes. If he wants to eat raw grapes and go into the Beis HaMikdash, there's no problem with it. But a Nazir can't even eat raw grapes. Why? Because since the Nazir is for atonement of the chet of Adam, and Adam's chet was of eating from the fruit, therefore any part of that fruit becomes prohibited, not only the intoxicating part of the fruit, even raw grapes, which normally is not prohibited for a Kohen, where we're not afraid that you are going to get intoxicated, but nonetheless, that is also part of the original sin. Therefore, the Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes. And after the portion of Nazir is written, the portion of Berachas Kohanim, as we explained from the Daza Kenin Baal Tosfos, that explains that after everything was complete during the 6 days of creation, Hashem blessed, because Hashem is ready to give the Shechina down, so too, here we have the Berachas Kohanim, which causes the Shechina to come down. Therefore, after we send away everybody from encampment, we ratify the sins that caused the Shechina to be pushed off, and we are ready to have Hashem again in our midst. We have the priestly blessings, and that causes the Shechina to come down. Therefore, right after the priestly blessings, we have the inauguration of the temple, because now we are ready to be inaugurated. Again, the chronology of the parts are, since Hashem is ready to send the Shechina down, Hashem has to tell us to send away from the encampment the three corrupting factors that caused us to be kicked out originally, which is the sin of the snake, the sin of Chava, and the sin of Adam. In order to rectify this, we are required to confess our sin and learn more Torah, and then we are required to make sure to protect ourselves against the sins of the Sota, and also to refrain from drinking wine and contaminating ourselves to the death. Once we are able to do this, then Hashem will again bless us, and Hashem puts the Shechina back here. And may Hashem Yisborach help that we should again be able to rectify all the sins that were originally, and Hashem should again decide to put His Shechina here, send Moshiach, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Mimheira Beyomeinu, Amen.